I knew as soon as the news broke this morning that I could turn my television off because it was going to be wall-to-wall hagiography.
It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on another broadcast week here at The Horn. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe around. And, it is. It's a delightful time, and the conversation is mighty fine. And if you do pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Otto DeShot and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become man cave. Must be a mighty nice day out there. Not too bad here either. It's a bearable 74 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. No naked radio today, so we can all breathe a sigh of relief. And no meal times have thus far been harmed by the program. Hi, I'm Robin. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. That means thanks go out for this 18th day of the month to our 18th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks very kindly to... A thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you very kindly to Grace. Thank you, Charlene, in Rogues Island. Thank you very kindly to Laborman. And thanks as well to Matt in San Francisco for his challenge last week. Thank you, Reinhardt, over there on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Timothy. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everyone who helped us knock down the worst fundraising hole we've ever had as of this past Friday. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Pay no attention to the noise in the background. That's just a battery charging for the lawnmower and the weed eater. It should be done, here fairly shortly. And, you know, it's better than two-cycle oil, and the that goes around the corner. It's much quieter. I like it a lot that way. Like I said, that fan noise will be done fairly shortly. Now, as to fundraising, where are we? $1,328. That is to say, today's program, Friday's program, Thursday's program, Wednesday's program, and $128 of Tuesday. But we made some progress, and, well...
Hopefully we'll make more. Let's see, as far as program announcements are concerned, I don't expect it to have an impact on the program tomorrow, but I do have an appointment tomorrow afternoon that I have to attend. It shouldn't impact the program, like I said, but there's always an outside chance that it might. So there's that. Apart from that, nothing this week should be impacted by any scheduling issues. Nothing Wednesday. Nothing on Thursday, nothing Friday. And the only day that I know absolutely I will not be on air is a week from Wednesday, the 27th day of October. I have an appointment that I have to attend it's an afternoon appointment. And there's no way to get back from it in time to be on the air. So my apologies in advance. And I had our buddy Todd asked me a question over the weekend, asked me to restate what my last broadcast day would be prior to the trip to Alabama, and that will be October the 29th. Halloween, October the 31st, falls on a Sunday. Agnes and I will depart here 4 points south on Monday, November the 1st. Oddly enough, my dad's birthday. And hopefully I'll get a couple of shows in the days leading up to surgery. I'd like very much to have a Friday on the front porch on the 5th of November. That should not be a challenge. And then, of course, probably not on the 8th and, well, surgery is the 9th. So that's, and then I know, well, I'm in some conversations to work up some guest hosting for the first time, and we'll see how that plays out. But these 2 weeks should be perfectly ordinary, and, you know, my biggest hope is that we can actually fully fund the effort for these 2 weeks, because we're going to be in a deep, dark, and terrifying hole in November. So anything we can do to take down that $1,328 hole in the ground would be good. Oh, no, good Todd, not Cranky Todd, Brother Deacon Asa. We haven't heard from Cranky Todd in a very, very long time, and that's a good thing. So anyway, that's what the schedule is going forward. This, of course, is Moran Monday, and I think it goes without saying that we can probably nominate the entirety of the for-profit media for the tiresome coverage that we've dealt with today, and we'll probably be dealing with tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps each day in its petty pace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all that stuff that Shakespeare said. Ron and Raleigh put it well. I'm going to try to engage in the age-old maxim of nil nisi bonum in regard to Colin Powell. Let the hagiography begin, Ron writes. Another bloodthirsty warmonger has gone on to his long home. High praise is being heaped on Colin Powell for his military service and his diplomatic service. I'd like to inject a little reality into all this praise. The only misstep of General Powell that has been mentioned is the tissue of lies that he used in his UN speech to push the illegal war against the innocent people of Iraq. Since he apologized for this, he's been taken off the hook for all the death and destruction his speech helped to cause. I'd like to hearken back to his service in Vietnam. Colin was charged with investigating the My Lai massacre, and he let the perpetrators of this war crime off the hook. While he was still on active duty, he led the attack on Panama. We still don't know the real reason for this attack. However, the excuse that was given was the arrest of CIA proxy Manuel Noriega. No accounting of the poor people that were killed during this illegal attack. One of the possible reasons for the attack was the return of the Panama Canal to the Panamanian people. The attack and subsequent political breakdown was used as an excuse not to return the canal. One officer said that Panama was a great place to test new weapon technologies. Colin Powell was a black Republican that white folks could embrace, unlike the Kenyan Muslim. He presented a facade of reasonable person, but he was anything but the image that he presented. And in point of fact, one of the articles that I ran across earlier today was to the effect that the Washington Post headlined their piece, "Republicans saw Colin Powell as their presidential savior in 1996. He couldn't see himself that way." And it's more hagiography, and I guess it's a way of saying, you know, he did a good thing by not selling himself out to be a Republican presidential candidate. And it references something William J. Bennett, you remember him, right? The guy who wrote the Book of Virtues and was later discovered to have a massive gambling problem, in which he would have a casino bring a slot machine to his room where he would play it without having to go down onto the gambling floor, and could just gamble away $100 bills in his altogether. I just, whoa, talk about ruining a meal. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Bill Bennett said, "The country will be looking for a man of a certain character. We're always playing out some version of George Washington, the indispensable man. And you're him," he said to Colin Powell, "you know. If there's a modern Washington, you're him. You stand up at the Republican convention and say, 'I'm running for president because I want to save the American people.' That means you just bring everybody together. Standing ovation." But they never quite conned him into selling out. Because even, it's so easy to forget. I mean, 1996, that was a million years ago. There were dinosaurs wandering around Washington, D.C. back then. It was, you know, those great big giant humongous ferns from the Jurassic or Cretaceous or whatever epoch were still growing in the swamps. That was so long ago. And yet I remember. And I remember what a hateful thing the Republican Party was in 1996. I remember their fevered pursuit of Bill Clinton over an admittedly seedy, skeevy affair. Because, you know, with the 2020 hindsight of history, Bill was kind of a seedy, skeevy guy. I mean, He was without a doubt the best Republican president since Dwight Eisenhower. Him and his DLC, Democratic Leadership Council, otherwise known as Republican Light. Yeah, and I guess he's just gotten out of the hospital. He got a urinary tract infection that then went septic and got into his blood and made him sicker than shit. And he's 75 years old. Which sort of blows my mind. Barack Obama is 60. But, yeah, Bill Clinton is 75 years old. And I remember the Republican Party of 1996, like I said, their fevered pursuit of the cleanest. People like Newt Gingrich, questing after Bill Clinton's zipper at the same time that he was going hammer and tongs at a little intern of his own who went on to become the ambassador to the See of St. Peter and had to gargle every time she went to visit the Vatican. I'm talking about, you know, Callista Gingrich. Yeah. And, of course, the culture wars were on back then. I remember the culture wars of the late 90s, don't you? "We can't have no gay marriage because then all the heterosexual marriages will just crumple into dust." It would take a lot of protest and a lot of activism and a lot of sustained effort to achieve marriage equality, but lo and behold, here it is, and somehow or another, those
good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian marriages. Well, a lot of them are still going strong. About half of them end in divorce in the first 5 years. But, you know, people go their separate ways. But they're not going their separate ways because gay people. No. And it's interesting. I would be interested to see, I never have, what the divorce rates are in the gay community as compared to the straight community. Or to see whether the divorce rate has gone up because gay people can marry and the people that they love. And yeah, probably don't see a lot of that simply because it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit the narrative. Sort of like you don't see stories talking about the fact that the Democrats may retain control of the House and might even expand control of the Senate in 2022 because, well, it doesn't fit the narrative and it's no fun. I mean, the Biden presidency, yeah, I tuned into my filthy morning habit. And there were the yammerheads going wild over, you know, the Biden presidency will die. Oh, my aching back. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty awful. But it's good to remember, in the midst of all of this hagiography, that there are a million, at least, human beings who did not see another sunrise, thanks to Colin Powell and Kinda Sleazy Rice, goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken, and Donald Rumfield, and that vile creature who licked his comb before he ran it through his hair, Paul Wolfowitz, and, of course, Dick Cheney before he dicks you. That entire crowd of thugs, they had an agenda. They were there to plunder the Treasury of the United States, but they needed to keep people engaged and excited or agitated in order to do that, and they used the culture war to do it. And so, from that day, and yeah, where was Colin Powell? Yeah, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, these pictures are not speculative. This is a real preparation for mass building weapons of mass destruction. So at least, you know, we should probably mention yellow cake. I don't know, because I did. I turned the TV off. I just shut down on any and all cover, because it's been wall-to-wall Colin Powell today. And I'm not trying to be mean about it. But the coverage has been outsized. In some ways, he's being covered as though he were an expired president. But that brings up another topic, which I think we will reach. But I saw something that our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted. A tweet from Jeff Tiedrich. Who said, because, you know, early, with the very first announcements, the statement was made that Colin Powell, at the age of 84, had died of COVID. Mm-hmm. And they went on to point out that he was fully vaccinated. And it must almost certainly have been the Delta variant. But what Jeff Dietrich pointed out was that Colin Powell did not die of COVID because he was vaccinated. Colin Powell died of COVID because of all the people who are not and who were not. And that's a fact. I'm telling you, Robin, Scott in San Diego says, I finally had to turn MSNBC off this morning. There hadn't been so much hanging black crepe and laudatory speechifying since St. Tim of Russert went on to his reward. Oh, God, there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth over that. I can't say this definitively, but I think Morning Nika was all choked up, eyes downcast, lip trembling. I think she legitimately was struggling not to break into tears. And it had been a not good morning that with my filthy morning habit to begin with. But we'll get into that too. This seems an appropriate moment to go ahead and do our coverage of the Herman Cain Award winner for this evening. Because there's just so damn many of them. And one is, it's one horror after another. Let's find a real good one. So let's check in with this dude. January 31st, he says, marked safe from swabbing my ass for a respiratory virus today. I'm not vaccinated. I'm in the control group of the experiment. And our award winner said, we ain't no lab rats. And then a posting of a picture of a dinner table from like a Dick and Jane sort of thing. And they're a proud kind of people, by God. How do you know if someone's vaccinated? Don't worry, they'll tell you. My mind still thinks I'm 25. My body thinks my mind is an idiot. Ha! You should see what your body thinks of you in about a month. I'm not vaccinated. Don't like it? Then stay the fuck away from me. And, of course, when you see these things, there'll eventually be some transphobia or some racism or something like that. In this case, it's racism. So a meme of Lisa Simpson standing in front of a whiteboard. White shaming is literally racism, followed by dude here saying, due to my white privilege, I will be donating my COVID-19 vaccine shot to someone less fortunate. No need to thank me. Or the meme that's making the rounds from A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise screaming, I want the truth, and Jack Nicholson with a speech bubble saying, Facebook keeps banning the truth. And our awardee having said on August 20th, fact check this, fuckers. And since he's a racist, he's also xenophobic and more racist. There's a picture of glass blowing, and it says, this is molten sand. Look how pretty the Middle East would be if we nuked it. Wow. And then, on September the 14th, our hero posts, well, I finally caught the damn Rona, and pneumonia too. Going to be a fun little week-long hospital vacay. And then finally, on the 18th, yeah, all of you know we lost him 5 days ago. He went into ICU on September 14th, lost the battle with COVID on October 13th. That day, his wife and I had just got to his bedside, and he immediately left this world. He wasn't alone. I watched him. This was his mama writing. I watched him come into this world and watched him leave this world. The pain I felt that day was unbelievable, but I was glad I was there. That's just what a mother does. We've completed the funeral arrangements, and I think he would be pleased. Friday, we will lay his body to rest. Now his home is in heaven. I will see him again. He just should not have gone before me. We are still don't know why God took him at such an early age, but I trust God knew what he was doing. He would have been 38 years old next birthday. I clearly remember the day he was born, and
what joy I felt. And so he has his Herman Cain Award, as so many do. Or the awardee from Texas who posted a picture of a pair of European Jews with the yellow Star of David sewn onto their coats. Quote from a Hungarian Jew from the documentary The Last Days. People wonder, how is it that we didn't do something? We didn't run away. We didn't hide. Well, things didn't happen at once. They happened very slowly. And he was, of course, pissed off about the Australian lockdown. None of his business, but, you know. And so it's the usual thing. September 13th, Marine Corps General David H. Berger on Monday rebuked Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's edict requiring all armed forces personnel to submit to COVID-19 vaccinations under threat of court-martial or discharge. And grunting and barking and hooting. No Texan should be forced to inject a government-mandated vaccine into their bodies to work in this state. And then, ultimately, finally, a picture of her. This is with great regret to let all of her friends know that as of today, at about 3:45 a.m., she lost her battle with the COVID virus. You can pretty much spend the day going through those things. And it's certainly nothing to celebrate, and I don't. That would be monstrous. Heartbreaking. But God. You know, how many Republicans out there will be mourning, and Americans generally will be mourning the death at age 84 of Colin Powell. And I wonder how many of them will be unvaccinated. How many of them refuse to wear a mask? Social distance. I would dare hazard a guess that that number is substantial. As to that line from that one meme, Facebook keeps banning the truth. Steve in New York says, ponder that one for a sec. If a person said something like that 30 to 40 years ago, people would have barfed up a lung for anyone thinking that getting news off a public bulletin board would be reliable. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you know, we've got a literal physical public bulletin board down to the Wiggling Pig. And it's got, you know, hey, who wants a kitten? You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, used mobile home, just a few holes in the floor sort of stuff. Or, you know, the I will mow your grass. You know, people trying to get jobs mowing grass or, you know, house sitting, all kinds. And, you know what's not there? Major discussions of public policy. So, yeah, Steve, you're right in that regard. As I said, it was long ago, but I've not forgotten how noxious the Republican Party always has been. It was so long ago, says Lee in New York, but Chuck Grassley remembers. Well, good God, Chuck Grassley remembers the Grant administration, for Christ's sakes. I don't know, maybe the Van Buren administration. So, a little bit more in the way of COVID news on this Morin Monday, because there is no bigger COVIDiot than Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. bless their heart, the New York Daily News says, now Ted Cruz knows how a boomerang works. Because just as that Herman Cain Award winner referenced, you know, God damn it, they're locking down people in Australia. Well, Ted Cruz decided to take a run at Australia, too. He tweeted yesterday, I love the Aussies.
Their history of rugged independence is legendary. I've always said Australia is the Texas of the Pacific. The COVID tyranny of their current government is disgraceful and sad. Individual liberty matters. I stand with the people of Australia.
Well, you know, there are some cranks. I'm sure Robert in Australia could probably keep us up to date on the cranks. He knows what's going on there. But they are, as far as I can tell, a noisy minority. Not nearly as widespread and not having near the influence that our COVIDiots and mask holes and spread necks have. But Rafael Leto decided to meddle in Australian politics, and the next thing you know, he's getting quote tweeted by the conservative head of the Northern Territory in Australia. Maybe he's not. He may not be a liberal. Maybe he's Labor. I'm not sure. But Michael Gunner nonetheless said, "G'day from down under, Ted Cruz. Thanks for your interest in the territory. I'm the chief minister. Below are a few facts about COVID down here." And he notes, nearly 70,000 Texans have tragically died from COVID. There have been zero deaths in the territory. Did you know that? Vaccination is so important here because we have vulnerable communities and the oldest continuously living culture on the planet to protect. Did you know that, Ted? We've done whatever it takes to protect the territory. That's kept us safe and free. We've been in lockdown for just 8 days in 18 months. Our businesses and schools are all open. Did you know that? We don't need your lectures. Thanks, mate. You know nothing about us. And if you stand against a life-saving vaccine, then you sure as hell don't stand with Australia. I love Texas. Go Longhorns. But when it comes to COVID, I'm glad we're nothing like you. Ow. That'll leave a mark. And God knows he deserved it. There's really only one way to deal or put a bow on a Ted Cruz story.
You dick!
Yes, absolutely. Because he is. And he's a moron. Every time I see Ted Cruz saying something stupid, I'm reminded once more. We're all charged up now. We can turn that off. I'm reminded once more of what a howling failure the admissions policies of Harvard are. Because, ugh. Imagine looking at that pusillanimous, needle-nosed little jackass and thinking, you know what? We can't wait to have him at Harvard. Well, I guess it was affirmative action in action, wasn't it? Maybe. I don't know. They're going to need to find a new terminology. Damn it, says Scott in San Diego. She lost her battle? There's no sign, talking about the spread neck in Texas, there's no sign that she put up much of a fight. No vaccine, no mask, no social distancing, kept in piss-poor shape mentally and physically before the pandemic. Give me a goddamn super-sized break, Scott says. And it's hard to disagree. GK up in Minnesota says, a tweet from Don Winslow, 3:59 p.m. today. Explosive new video, Joe Manchin, senator for sale. Joe Manchin's blocking Joe Biden's agenda. We found so much vile and provable corruption in Manchin's life and his family's life that we couldn't fit it all into one video. So this is just part one, and yeah, we'll be getting to Joe too, because, well, he's the man who's trying to ruin America and succeeding. And the people he is attacking with his so-called fiscal conservatism, you got to understand, where Joe is concerned, he's not saying anything new. For anybody who has followed his career or been present for it, there is literally nothing new in it. He's been grunting and hooting and barking and moaning about we're bankrupting our grandchildren since God was a baby. I mean, God, I think it was maybe 2005 when I heard him give that speech in Wheeling, talking about how we'd have to have reform of entitlements. Of course, he's never going to need them, so, you know, he doesn't much care one way or the other about the people who do. So, you know, that. Ugh. Like I said, we've got more Joe Manchin, because it is more on Monday. As to the Herman Cain Award winner's retweeting of "It happened slowly in Nazi Germany," actually, no. Stephen New York says Hitler elected Chancellor 1932, Enabling Act 1933, anti-Jewish laws, etc. 33-39, Wannsee Conference 1942, out of which came the so-called Final Solution. Yeah, Biden elected 2020. Enabling Act? Nope. Anti-Jewish laws? Nope. Anti-Christian laws? Nope. Mandatory vaccines in some places for COVID? Any other mandates happened 50, 60 more years ago? Yeah. Mandatory masks in some places? Yeah. See? Just like Nazi Germany. I know. Just makes you feel like your eyes are bleeding, doesn't it? Just because it does. This is interesting. Let's see what this little film clip has to offer, shall we?
What was your salary last year?
About $18
million. It pays to be a member of Joe Manchin's family.
Follow the money.
Joe Manchin has represented West Virginia for 40 years. Delegate, state senator, secretary of state, governor, U.S. senator. 40 years and West Virginia is still the second poorest state in the country. Economy. West Virginia ranks 48 out of 50 states.
Thank you, Joe Manchin.
Healthcare.
Thank you, Mississippi.
Out of 50 states.
Thank you, Joe Manchin.
Education. 45 out of 50 states.
Thank you, Joe Manchin.
Infrastructure. Wait for it. 50 out of 50 states. Manchin has an estimated net worth of $8
million, follow the money,
while the average annual income of West Virginia is just $26,000. Manchin receives a taxpayer-paid salary as a U.S. senator of $184,500. So he didn't get his $8 million there.
Nice yacht, Joe.
So where does all the money come from? Manchin receives $491,000 annually from his son's coal brokerage company, Enersystems. His wife, Gail Manchin, received $613,000 from Enersystems. That's $1.1 million to Manchin and his wife from his family's energy company. Manchin makes five times more from his family's energy company than he does as a U.S. senator. Joe Manchin has blocked President Biden's infrastructure plan from moving forward because he wants to kill legislation to replace coal-fired plants with clean energy. Manchin is selling out his own country to protect big coal and big oil, who own him.
Joe Manchin, I talk to his office every week. He is the kingmaker, and he's not shy about sort of staking his claim early.
The chairman of the committee that regulates coal shouldn't be a part owner of a coal company.
This is Heather Manchin, Joe Manchin's daughter. After lying about having an MBA, she was named CEO of Mylan Industries. She artificially jacked up the price of EpiPens by 461%. and was awarded with a 671% salary increase. West Virginia is poor, poorly educated, and broken, but Joe Manchin and his entire family have become multimillionaires.
West Virginia, abused and suckered for 40 years by Joe Manchin.
You know, we kind of need that running on TVs in West Virginia. But the caveat goes with this, and I'm not trying to I'm not disagreeing with anything in there, but we don't have let me put it this way. About half of the people in West Virginia who might see that if it was to run on a TV station here, and I'll bet you most TV stations, no matter how much money you offered them, most TV stations would not run that because they are mortally afraid of Joe Manchin. But even if they ran it, half of the people in the state would say, yeah, that Joe Manchin sucks. What we need is a real Republican. Somebody who will really, really give them what for in Washington. Mark my words. Thanks for sending that along, GK. And that's the nature of the problem with the politics here. It's what I was talking about the other night about the failure to transmit transgenerational wisdom. Somewhere along the way, we culturally and socially dropped the ball. God, who was the he played for the Redskins and the Giants. Sam Huff. Brutal defensive player. Did color for the Washington Football Club for a long time. And he used to say that in every home he was ever in West Virginia, there were three pictures. Jesus Christ, John L. Lewis, and FDR. Well, John L. Lewis was the head of the United Mine Workers. Jesus Christ, you know. And FDR, as in so many poor southern states, literally saved a population from death, from a horrible death by starvation. Well, you know, the annual salary here, or the annual income here, is $26,000, as the that piece noted. But somewhere along the way, people got a little bit of coin in their pockets and decided that they were well off enough to be Republicans. And of course, they were conned all along the way by what I was talking about earlier, the culture wars, the precious little fetuses. And Al Gore's going to get your guns and take your mama's Bible. I was here for that, too. And so I want to be clear. These are, in many instances, nice people. Shirt off their backs types. And yet, because we do not, and Lord, I wish I had Dr. Bill on the phone right now. He could go into this at granular levels of detail. Because of our failure to educate the population of the state of West Virginia, we wind up with, you know, Democrats like Joe Manchin, and Republicans like pill-pushing Patty Morrissey, or any one of the knuckleheads and zany urine-colored snake flag waving jackanapeses of the Republican majority in the West Virginia legislature. Ugh. It's breathtaking. And so we find ourselves back in that same old discussion all about how West Virginians vote against their own interests, blah, 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 blah. Someday, maybe a younger generation will rise up here that will actually know how to vote for people who aren't actively looking to fuck them and vote for people who, on the basis of something besides a microscopic wad of tissue. But that day isn't now, and the education hasn't even, as far as I can tell, begun. And so I come back to my original thesis, and that is, don't be looking to West Virginia to get the Senate out of the fix that it's in. Look to Florida. Look to North Carolina. Alabama. Look to Missouri. Look to all of these places where Republican senators are vacating seats. Bust ass to keep Senator Warnock in office in Georgia. Bust ass to keep Senator Kelly in office in Arizona. Get a 52 or 53 or 54 seat majority in the Senate, and suddenly, maybe, you can get somebody to head up the Senate Natural Resources Committee who isn't Joe Manchin. That shit needs to be taken away from him. Because, well, Joe is perfectly willing to burn up the planet as long as the fire is comprised of coal. Okay? Because that's where we are. Sad as it is. And his latest, God, he despises poor people. According to folks at Axios, Joe wants to limit the child tax credit to people making under $60,000 a year. It's not adjusted regionally. It's not adjusted for inflation. It's just a hard $60,000 a year. $60,000 a year in some parts of the country are subsistence levels. He also has said that if someone is a caregiver to a child, like, say, a grandparent who has custody of a grandchild, or adoptive parents or foster parents, he says they've got to, by God, have a job if they want the money. Well, you know, some such people can't take jobs because they have a full-time job taking care of those children. Among other things, pediatrics has stated that in the United States of America alone, 140,000 children under the age of 18 were orphaned as a result of COVID-19 from April 1, 2020 through June 30, 2021. Then there's the United Hospital Fund. They say 1.435 million children, 1,435,000 children, lack at least one parent as the result of a drug addiction. There are 240,000 kids in this country who have had a parent OD and die. In this country, there are 325,000 children taken out of their homes and put in foster care or with relatives due to the opioid scourge. Meanwhile, here in West Virginia. Some 5,000 plus children a year go into foster care every year in a state whose overall population is about 1.5 million, and that is a stunning number. The Axios report, well, it details a Joe Manchin who is brutally disinterested in the well-being of people who struggle just to stay alive and to take care of children. You know, and Joe's pro-life. Remember? How many times have I remarked that there is not a bean dinner, there's not a ramp dinner, there's not a spaghetti supper that Joe didn't used to make it to if it was being held by some pro-life organization? And, of course, his partner, Joe's partner in this immiseration of the United States of America is Kyrsten Sinema. And she said, by God, she will not vote for any social spending plan until the House passes the infrastructure bill. And according to Axios, Manchin also continues to privately tell colleagues the president's clean electricity performance program and the aim for zero carbon electricity just ain't going to happen as long as he's got any say-so in it. But out of this, he gets to claim that he's lowered the cost of the child care aspects of the bill. What's that Lincoln quote? Lincoln said of someone, he's one of those people who knows the cost of everything and the value of nothing. Well, Joe has a close hand on the dollar figure cost of actually taking care of and promoting the general welfare of the United States of America. But he has no idea of the long-term costs. What does it cost the United States of America to leave 1.435 million children unsupported because of their addicted parent? What of the 140,000 children under the age of 18 rendered orphans in the space of not even a year and a half of a pandemic? April to June. 1 year and 2 months. 14 months. 140,000 orphans. God, if only they were fetuses, Joe Manchin would give a fuck. Oh, well. Yeah, Jeremy says, just saying, can I get a free fuck Joe Manchin, please? Yes, you can. Fuck Joe. Because he's fucking you. Us. He's fucking Democrats. He's fucking Republicans. He's fucking anybody whose last name isn't Manchin. And that's how, you know, that's how they roll. But he threw a hissy late last week. And quite the hissy it was. Now, what got him so damned upset? Well, the answer to that is an op-ed that Bernie Sanders wrote and sent to the West Virginia Gazette, formerly the Charleston Gazette. It is the state paper of record. And in it, Bernie Sanders laid out exactly what this bill would do, not just for America, but in particular for West Virginia. And what it would do would be good things. Oh, but God Almighty. Oh, it pissed Joe Manchin off something fierce. Such that the Washington Post published an article back on Saturday after the op-ed was published in the Charleston West Virginia Gazette on Friday. Andrew Jiang writing, the public dispute between Senators Bernie Sanders and Joe Manchin III over the size and scope of a multi-trillion dollar spending package. That would mean a spending package that would spend over a $350 billion a year spending package. Sounds a little different when you put it that way, doesn't it? And that's on the media. Escalated Friday after Sanders published an opinion article in Manchin's home state newspaper urging him to support the landmark Democratic proposal. Sanders, writing in the Charleston Gazette Mail, attacked the legislation's opponents, every Republican in Congress, as well as the drug companies, the insurance companies, the fossil fuel industry, and the billionaire class. And then got around to naming Joe. And Joe didn't like it. And somebody stuck a microphone in Joe's face, and Joe had a hissy. Joe answering, "This isn't the first time an out-of-stater has tried to tell West Virginians what is best for them, despite having no relationship to our state." He actually tweeted that. And I'm really proud of myself, because I resisted the urge to respond. Wouldn't make any difference anyway. But it does drive me bananas, because, well, this is a case of Joe's Dunning-Kruger effect history syndrome flaring up. Because, you see, that statement is true. Almost, well, from the very inception of West Virginia as a standalone state, despite the fact that there are ever so many people who still think that this is the west part of Virginia, and they will gladly tell you that they have an aunt, cousin, uncle, friend in Roanoke, this state has been a captive of out-of-state interests from jump. If you actually care to study the history of West Virginia, you'll find that there are a string of people who are governors who are referred to as the Bourbon Governors. And it doesn't mean that they were just constantly liquored up. They are. It's a way of sort of referring to them as compared to the Bourbon kings of France. And the fact of the matter is, out of state interests have been coming here and telling West Virginians what they what's best for them. In fact, people from out of country have been coming here and telling West Virginians what's good for them. Certain senior senator from West Virginia's family being one of them. I mean, not to engage in some sort of a competition, but my ancestors have been here probably every bit of a couple of hundred years before any of Joe's people got on the boat and came over. But Joe feels like he's got a handle on what West Virginians want. He doesn't. Working families in this state would dearly love to have a little bit of the weight taken off of their back by being able to have child care attended to and not have to spend 10-20% of their annual income having to pay for daycare. Oh, hell yes. But, you know, the coal interests who have made Joe Manchin a multimillionaire and his family, well, they weren't in state interests. And Joe Manchin, because the goddess of irony is a good goddess, the goddess of irony made sure when she put that statement in his mouth that he was utterly oblivious to the fact that he's part of the problem he was decrying. He has made his fortune inviting out-of-state companies to come in here and pillage the state and kill the people of West Virginia, including some of his own family in the Farmington mine disaster. But I guess he's counting on people not knowing history. I mean, those were not hard scrabble mountaineers or hillbillies from up the holler who built towns like Glen Jean and Thurmond and War and Man and Matewan. And those weren't in-state interests who sent gun thugs into the coal fields to keep coal miners who just wanted to be treated like human beings from organizing a union. Oh, hell no, they were out of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, New York and Philadelphia, London even. But Joe Manchin doesn't like out-of-staters coming in and telling West Virginians what's best for them if the out-of-stater in question is coming in here and telling working people that they have a right to rise up and stand on their hind legs and demand better from their elected representatives. And I don't always agree with Bernie, but I am in complete agreement with him on this. Every assertion that he makes in that Gazette op-ed is correct. It's just correct. And if you want to read it, it's at wvgazette.com. And, there's not a lot to argue with there. Oh, I mean, I guess you can say something. You know, well, Bernie's just say what I'm talking about and people wanting to have free stuff. It's not free. Everybody's going to pay for it in taxes. Oh, well. The title is Bernie Sanders, Let's Stand Together to Protect Working Families. And what pissed him off so much? What pissed off Joe Manchin so much? Well, he said, this legislation will make a massive investment in low-income and affordable housing so that we no longer have 600,000 homeless Americans and millions more who spend half their incomes on or more on housing. Then there's the existential threat of climate change, with the planet becoming warmer and warmer with unprecedented forest fires, drought, floods, and extreme weather disturbances. And when scientists tell us that we only have a few years to avoid irreparable damage to our country and planet, this legislation begins the process of cutting carbon emissions and transforming our energy systems away from fossil fuel and into the energy efficiency and sustainable energy. And that's the point. That's the part where Joe felt the pointy blade go right into the soft and tender spot where of his wallet. And then this. Poll after poll shows overwhelming support for this legislation, yet the political problem we face is that in a 50-50 Senate, we need every Democratic senator to vote yes. We now have only 48. Two Democratic senators remain in opposition, including Senator Joe Manchin. This is a pivotal moment in modern American history. We now have a historic opportunity to support the working families of West Virginia, Vermont, and the entire country, and create a policy which works for all, not just a few. I wish somebody, not that they would, but I wish in the drafting of this, it had started off with, "Hi, my name's Bernie Sanders, and I'm a senator from an Appalachian state, too. I'm from Vermont." The entire state, almost the entire state, is the Appalachian Mountains. Vermont means green mountains. And these, like the mountains in central Appalachia, are the oldest on the planet. And they are beautiful. And even though the accent is different, Vermonters are Appalachian people just like West Virginians. Might have made a little bit of a difference. But then again, he's right. We need every Democratic senator, or every senator who votes with the Democratic majority. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are holdouts at keeping it from getting to 50 so that Vice President Kamala Harris could come in and break the tie. But that having been said, well, sorry to be a broken record, but and I don't have to do the whole thing, but this community, as opposed to a lot of other others, this community knows that there is one reason why Joe Manchin sits as the chair of Senate Natural Resources. And we know what that reason is and what that reason's name is. I know. Flavio says, remember, his last name is Mancini. Manchin was an anglicization. Yeah, I keep seeing that meme. The Koch brothers have bought a lot of things in this country and bought a lot of houses in this country, but nothing has given them the return on the investment that they got when they bought a mansion in West Virginia. Hard to argue with that. Lee in New York says, subject line, West. I do not have family in Virginia or West Virginia. I did have a relative who owned a clothing store in West New York. West New York is in New Jersey. Your provider of geography confusion. Lee, still in New York City. Thank you, Lee. Yeah, you may not know it, but you've probably got an aunt in Roanoke. And by the way, it looks like we're going to do some vaccine mixing. The FDA, in a breaking piece, just noted the FDA is moving toward saying, yeah, it's okay. If you've got Pfizer, you can get a Moderna booster. If you've got Moderna, you can get a Pfizer booster. If you've got J&J, you can get whatever. Right. Because the research seems to support that can be beneficial. Uh, 2020 and 2022, Steve in New York with a question. Help me out here. Is it any wonder that those who are not as engaged as we are on the political front will look at this and ask themselves, why exactly should I care if the Democrats or Republicans are in power? At least I know that the GOP is going to crash the car into the wall. I can wear a seatbelt. The Democrats tell me they're on our side, but even can't get the car started and then ask us to push the car. I don't know how I feel about that analogy, Steve. It's more like the Democrats keep starting the car, and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema keep pouring sugar into the gas tank. I like that one a little bit better. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Even if he was not the chair of the Senate Energy Committee, he would still be the 50th vote in a powerful objection. Truth. But the fact that he can... you could horse trade that, but any climate change legislation. I mean, let's assume that I get my fondest wish, and in 2022, we get a 54 or 55 seat majority in the Senate. If they leave him in natural resources at the chair, he's going to keep fucking us, because the legislation will have to get out of committee, and the parliamentarian puts stuff determines which committee legislation goes to. It's just the reality of how the broken down, busted, wasn't designed for things like this system works. I wish it were otherwise. So we have entered the first, the second, we finished the first and entered the second hour of the program. Here endeth the filibuster, even though we've got, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and we'll get to it, I hope. But critically, the fundraising goal is $1,328, and it remains $1,328. It hasn't come down in the last 70 minutes. And that is frankly scary. I got to get everything paid up and squared up, at least until I can, get back on air after, whenever that is, after the surgery. So if we could knock that down, that would be great. That would be wonderful. If you want to help out, run over to headon.live. It's right there on the main page, the PayPal interface is. Meanwhile, let's pop in and check with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Holy moly. Happy Monday, Rogan.
If you say so.
Oh, yeah, Mondays are always good. The first new day of the new week.
Oh, I know, and I keep crossing days off on the calendar like some sort of a advent calendar. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks, three weeks to the day.
Advent calendar. There's a term I haven't heard in some years.
Well, it is. I remember that. It is a sort of an advent, I guess.
Did you, in your theological background, did you have the advent wreath?
Oh no! I mean, I didn't have an advent.
Oh, that must.
I didn't have an advent Catholic calendar. Thing. That's popery. That's Romanism.
Wait! Yeah, we had the advent calendar, and we had the advent wreath.
No, being good Southern Baptist, ours was a Christmas countdown calendar.
Did you have poppers? Did you have noisemakers and hats and different things?
No, the one I remember the best had the month of December, and there was a little Hershey's Kiss taped to each box, and you got to eat a Hershey's Kiss every day until Christmas.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't get Hershey's Kisses. I don't know. I'm going to have to memo to the Pope. What the hell's wrong with you, Jack?
You got the body and blood of Christ. I mean, I think maybe, well. Then again, not a lot of flavor in that cracker.
2, 4, 6, 8, time to transubstantiate. Raw. Anyway. Wait a minute. God damn, I hate when that happens.
What have I done?
You were talking about something earlier, and I was going to chime in on it. This is why I've got to make notes. I have got to make notes, Robin. Well, maybe it'll come to me in the course of things. Anyway, so you said the other day that you weren't like nervous or whatever.
No.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's always, if you're going to have a major medical thing going on, it's always good to approach it in a basal state, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's something I've wanted most of my life. And so, I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of pain. I know there's going to be a lot of discomfort. But, you know, the only way out is through.
Yeah, God knows that's right.
And it results in a in a happier me and a more comfortable in my own skin me. But I don't want to put people off because, you know, I don't want people feeling like, you know, I'm putting anything in their face or down their throat or whatever language we use, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, now the one thing that did occur to me is that I do want to make sure, because this is a teaching hospital, and perhaps one might think that I'm being a bit of an asshole, but I want to have a conversation about whether any eager young residents are going to have any part of the cutting. And because I want to make it clear.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Doc, I hired you, not your eager young ward. So just tell me you're going to do all the work and the amateurs can watch.
If the eager young ward comes in wearing a leather jacket, and you hear the music from West Side Story. Da, 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 da.
If I hear any music at all, you'll know that it's gone very badly.
God damn. See, when I think of hospitals, I know that you, when you've got a major medical thing going on, that's that aspect of it. I like to divert my attention and talk about the hospital food and the menu and stuff. Have you checked that out to find out what that's going to be like, or will you?
Yeah,
be
it's a huge hospital. It's going to be hospital food, and I'm hoping that there's some sort of way of dealing with COVID protocols that allow me to, use DoorDash or something. but I got a feeling for the first 3 to 5 days, I'm not going to be much interested in eating anything. And
no, probably not.
You know, just make sure that I got a big jug of ice water, and I'll be happy. Because, you know, that whole ice water and OxyContin.
I was going to tell you
that ice water and OxyContin cocktail.
I was going to tell you a story about my hospital stay in 1989 for the tumor on my pituitary. But it's somewhat graphic and it's somewhat icky, and it is dinner time somewhere in the world. So you'll have to wait for my book to take advantage of that.
Yeah, let's stay off dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone, shall we?
Yeah, I'll give you a rough overview, just a hint sort of thing, like a TV guide listing. It involved an 89-cent suppository. You can make up your own story, you know, and figure out what the hell was going on. Anyway, jeez, I'm sorry I even brought it up.
Episodes of this program that involve the word suppository are not high on my list of things that, you know, I think the community wants to necessarily talk about.
Okay, well, we won't go there. Well, anyway, I don't know. I'm pulling for you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I'm hoping that everything works out, you know, beautifully.
I do too. And like I said, I'm hoping maybe it won't all be dead air while I'm gone. I've had some conversations.
What's that about? Because what's his name? Steve in Georgistan said that you ought to have me fill in a day or two. But I just don't know. ASA or somebody said that vast amounts of equipment have to be brought up from down under.
There are technical hurdles that are breathtaking in scope.
Okay, well, I shouldn't think that anyone should go to any trouble on my behalf, because
I'm having some conversations, and I hope it plays out nicely.
Well, I hope so too.
Yeah, Lee in New York said, teaching hospital? Oh, no, Robin, I hope you're not the final exam. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. If they wheel you into the room and you see a different sizes of tweezers, like the Milton Bradley operation.
Oh, I'm not going to see shit. I mean, I know because a dear friend had this surgeon, and she told me everything I can expect, and that's why I said, I'm not going to climb. I am going to leap onto the table. And shortly thereafter, I'll be out like a light.
Well, you probably, it's like, I remember one time we were talking about the animated dog character, I guess in one of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, that was into the dog biscuits. And he would kind of rise up and float down with all of this.
Yes.
You know, heavenly Snaggles, Snuggles, Snapple. Stinkbomb. I did just somebody. And I can't remember if that was the same animated dog who had the wheezy laugh.
Yeah, no, I can't do.
Yeah, that there one, you go.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, Jeremy's just being a little bit mean. I'm still pulling for the Rush Limbaugh Nightmare Before Christmas Fever Med Dream, and I want this damn thing in color. That's a hell of a thing to wish on somebody you like.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, as many downsides as there are with major surgery, they sure have got the drug thing figured out. They don't want you to feel anything. They want you to be in not just a basal state, but an altered state.
Quiescently frozen.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And I just, and don't be watching any hospital themed movies.
No. You didn't even need to mention the title of that, Scott.
Okay.
Honest to Jesus, you didn't.
The original with Michael Douglas was much better than the remake, I thought, but that's just me. God, I wish I could remember what the hell that was. This newspaper that you mentioned, which is now a statewide paper, is that one of those deals where in other places the newspaper industry has gone belly up pretty much and it sort of filled the gap, the void?
Well, no, I mean, the Wheeling Intelligencer is still there. The Parkersburg Sentinel is still there. The Huntington Post-Dispatch is still there. The Beckley Register Herald is still there, and I mean there are a lot of small newspapers, but you know because it is headquartered in the seat of state government, it's kind of the paper of record. And there used to be two dailies in Charleston. One was the Charleston Gazette, the other was the Charleston Daily Mail. The Gazette was the Democratic paper, and the Daily Mail was the Republican rag. The Gazette was the evening paper, the Daily Mail was the morning paper, and most of the time you wouldn't want to do anything with the Daily Mail except, maybe if you were really mad at your bird, you would line a bird cage with it.
Well, I'd have to get in line. People have been mad with my bird for many years. Although Punky was a well-educated little bird. I mean, I would always put good newspapers. I never put the San Diego Union Tribune, because that I wouldn't rep spoiled fish in that thing. When I lived in where it was going with the newspaper thing was when I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where the wind comes rushing down the plain or whatever.
Anytime I hear Oklahoma, I think of Steve Martin and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels when he was playing Ruprecht, running around the room and banging on that pot. Oklahoma, 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 Oklahoma. Not mother.
We had, what was it? The morning paper in Tulsa was the Tulsa World, I think. The Daily World, and then weekends was like the Sunday World. But down in Oklahoma City, there was something called the Oklahoman. And that was the statewide paper. And I don't remember liking it at all. Although they did publish my letter to the editor in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing. And as a result of having published it, I got Nazi literature left on my doorstep. Did I ever? I think I did tell you about that. As if to say, we know where you are. We know who you are.
We have found you.
And that was a scary thing, I want to tell you. You know?
Without a doubt. By the way, it was Muttley. Muttley.
Muttley, yeah.
Our senior ad hoc researcher, Lee in New York, says Muttley was created in 1968 by Hanna-Barbera Productions, originally voiced by Don Messick, and he's the foil to Dick Dastardly. Yeah.
I know Hanna-Barbera there toward the end kind of got I mean, I was okay with the Jetsons. I was okay with the Flintstones. I was okay with Rough and Ready. But later on, they had like, didn't they do Penelope Pit Stop and all?
Oh yeah, That was part of Wacky Races. That
I just couldn't.
No,
didn't do it for me.
No, they were cranking it out on the cheap. Anything to provide content to sell cereal around.
Yeah.
On Saturday mornings.
You law.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's twice now I've forgotten my main thought. I have got to start making notes. I don't know. Maybe I'm losing it. I never really had a hearty grip on it to begin with, but to think that I'm losing it, that could be too much to bear. So anyway, what's the itinerary? You're pretty much going to go through toward the end of the month, and then you go down to
Alabama.
Alabama. And it was the 9th, the magic day that we need to be putting good thoughts around?
Yes.
Leading up to and leading
Well, the 7th is the COVID. Pre-op is the 5th. COVID test is the 7th, and the 9th is launch. So
launch. I never heard it put that way.
Yeah, that's when the balloon goes up.
Oh. Mercy.
And apparently so do my legs. Never mind.
You will be the Professor Marvel of that part of the country.
Yeah, I'm told the procedure will be, and here comes the fun part. Now, count backwards from 99, 98.
Yeah.
And the milk of amnesia kicks in and the party starts.
The milk of amnesia. Give yourself a cowbell.
I can't. That's I think it's called propofol.
Propofol.
Or propofol, yeah.
Isn't that what Michael Jackson was dicking around with?
Maybe. Yeah, but it will be. They're gonna keep me out for like 8 hours.
Jesus. I figured it would be a long surgery, but God, 8 hours doesn't seem like
a lot of work.
Da, 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 da.
I mean, they got to blow me up like a balloon. Come on down. Balloons and hot dogs for the kids.
Totally rides for the kids.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But, yeah, they go in laparoscopically through the navel.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, nobody wants the details.
Well, to quote Mr. Spock of Star Trek, fascinating.
Yes.
Anyway. Well, I don't know if I've got much more.
Well, Arnold has a question.
Yeah.
What was the movie, the scene, which is a commercial rat in a box, we fry what you won't touch? I have no idea. I just remember the crazy commercial.
A rat in a box?
Yeah, we fry what you won't touch. That's just gross.
We fry what you won't touch. Was it a commercial for like a fast food place?
I got nothing. I just read you what Arnold sent. That's all I got.
Closest thing I can come to that is, remember in the late 60s, the National Lampoon in its early days? They did a fake menu for some fake chicken joint. And the chicken in the basket was a headed, footed, fully feathered bird that had been battered and deep fried and then put out in that paper lined plastic basket with fries and, you know, accoutrements and side dishes all around it. And I said, well, I want to know what drugs these young men are on and why aren't they getting an education? God damn. Oh, but that leads me to a TV viewing tip. I can't remember whether it's on Amazon Prime or Netflix. But a couple of years ago, a documentary came out about the early days and the early staff of the National Lampoon. And I can't tell you the title offhand, but in the little icon on either Netflix or Amazon Prime, it's that orangutan version of, I think, Mona Lisa. So when you see that, you'll know that that's the one. Who was that National Lampoon staffer who either drove or fell or jumped off of a mountain or something in Hawaii? You remember who that was?
Was that Doug Kenny?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It's basically, I mean, he's featured in the documentary, but it's also about the National Lampoon. And maybe even a little bit of Saturday Night is mixed in there as well, SNL, I mean.
Well, and he was, along with Henry Beard, he was also the co-author of the brilliant parody of Lord of the Rings, Board of the Rings.
I think I remember that. There was a, prior to, or maybe in conjunction with the National Lampoon, there were a couple of parody publications. One was for Time Magazine, and I wish I'd hung on to it.
They did one a year, and 1 year there was Time Magazine. 1 year they did USA Today.
Oh wow!
and the TV listings were a scream.
Oh, I'm sure.
One of them was 8 p.m. Omission Impossible. Hiram and Zebulon refuse to answer the demon telephone and thus miss out on another adventure.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Mr. Phelps? Hello? Jeez. Yeah, I'll have to look around and see if there's a copy of that. I remember that Time magazine. It seems to me it was like in either 69 or 70. It was right around the time National Lampoon was going to be launched. But this was under the auspices, I think, of the Harvard Lampoon. I don't know. It's been so long ago, my memory's a little fuzzy. But it was right up there with the other Time magazines. And when I bought it, I, thinking back on it after I was reading it, I said, yeah, I wonder how many little old blue-haired ladies or people in their haste grabbed this thing and got it home.
You're right, yeah.
And they're flipping through and saying, well, what the hell? What? Get Henry Luce on the phone. I think he was still around back then. God.
Well, I know. And watching, like I said, before the news broke that Colin Powell had died, my filthy morning habit was already off the rails because the millionaires were sitting around their millionaire table there pontificating about how nobody understood why Joe Manchin's doing what Joe Manchin is doing. And y'all... I kind of shared in Joe Manchin's frustration from, you know, Friday or whatever it was, because it's like, I just know none of you people there would know left hand from Fraser's bottom.
Well, were they acting all concerned, like, for the poor folks who were going to be screwed yet again?
No. Joe was explaining how that's the kind of Democrat you get in West Virginia, because there aren't any, you know. All West Virginia Democrats are conservative, God-fearing, God-standing, Bible-believing, blah, 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 blah.
Well, whose pictures was on Joe Manchin's wall back in the day?
Yeah.
Satan? I'm sure FDR was.
No, the pictures on Joe Manchin's wall were members of the Manchin family.
Oh.
Now, when Joe Manchin talks about what West Virginians want, the universe of West Virginians Joe Manchin is talking about are people whose last name ends in Manchin.
Is he originally from West Virginia, or is he an import?
Yeah. No. He was born and raised here.
Manchini? Was that the...
Yeah, I think so, probably. Yeah.
Jesus.
And, he was instrumental in getting a memorial to the dead of which mine disaster was it? It was like 1907, and just about everybody who died in that hellhole were Italian immigrants.
Well, see, now here's the problem. One of the problems, one aspect of a larger problem. People of that ilk, and I'm talking about Republicans or Democratic moderates, which you may as well say. The only thing they haven't done is sign the final documents in blood, you know, to make that big switch, you know, under the sign of the elephant. But they will just trip all over themselves doing stuff for dead people. But they seemingly do nothing on the other side in the run up to keep folks from getting all dead like. Is that too fine a point?
No, I don't think it's too fine a point at all.
And it's like, first of all, I mean, and I'm not saying that $6 trillion was the magic number to go for, but there's no earthly reason that $3.5 trillion spent the way they originally said it should be divvied up and go to these different programs. There's no reason on earth why a country as strong as this country is with an economy, even in the midst of the pandemic, we have never not been resilient. I mean, even coming out of the crash of 29, yeah, it took a little while, and it took a war to rev up the industrial works of this country. But we have never not been resilient. We have never not been compassionate and caretaking for people who aren't quite as well off as some other people. Isn't that what the golden rule is about? The do unto others thing?
Well, yeah, and Matthew 25, too, while you're at it. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me.
I mean, look at the Good Samaritan story, and that's in several of the Gospels, or at least one, where the guy, his mortal enemy, socially and maybe even religiously,
culturally,
finds him beat all to hell on the side of the road down in the ditch, picks him up, puts him on the back of the donkey, carries him to an inn, gets him all squared away health-wise.
Says, I'll pay the tab. You feed him, you house him, you nurse him back to health. I'm good for it.
Anything he needs, you know? What happened to those people in government?
Sissies.
And in industry and... What?
Sissies. Liberals. Goddamn people out there thinking there's free stuff out there. Somebody's going to come along and pull you out of a ditch. You got to work your way out of that ditch.
Well, that's quite the road to hoe there. I just, but this is the deity, you know, it's like the Mickey Mouse Club. Now, it's a wonder they don't have a song. Who's the leader of the club made for you and me? J-E-S-S-U-S.
C-H-R-I-S-T.
Yeah, well, there's an extra word in there. Can you sell a vowel on Wheel of Fortune? I don't know. I've seen them buy them. They pay big money, big money. But this is their deity. This is their person. This is their shining example. You know? And yet, we could get things pretty well taken care of getting the tax advantages out of religious organizations. But that's a pipe dream. I mean, that ain't going to happen.
Oh, and a little piece of breaking news. Dennis Prager has the Rona.
Well, I couldn't think of another person who, if someone's going to get it, I would have put his name in the hat. There is not a more sanctimonious, pompous, two-faced, smarmy
jackass.
That would be. That's a good word.
Yeah, he's. You remember Walt Kelly of Pogo fame?
Oh yes.
Yeah. In order to get the words into the strip and onto the pages of the newspaper. He created the Jack Acid Society, J-A-C-K-A-C-I-D, Jack Acid. Yeah, and Dennis Prager is a a lifetime member of the Jack Acid Society.
Founding member. So what is his prognosis?
No word yet, but, you know.
Oh, well, that was the thing I was going to talk about with that I couldn't remember. General Powell. First of all, he's 84. Okay, so there's that. I didn't realize that he was being treated for, what is that, multiple myeloma, which is not a good thing to have if you want your immune system to work anywhere near right. And part of the purpose, actually the sole purpose, I guess, of the vaccine is to give your immune system something to work with in combating the arrival of this virus into your system. So he's got age, he's got underlying medical problems, and it's just, oh, and there's somebody in the dummy. He got all vaccinated up, and look at him, he's dead. Well, you know, read it a little further down in the story, Jasper, and check it out. There's more to it than, and I was never a fan of Colonel Powell, but I'll tell you, I would.
General, don't demote him.
General Powell. Colonel Powell was my junior year geometry teacher when I had to retake geometry. Former Army guy teaching high school. God, I guess pensions weren't what they are now. And he went by his rank, Colonel Powell. And
General.
I did learn about geometry. I'm still not clear on the purpose and even how to spell hypotenuse, but at least I know that there is one in the geometrical universe and to watch out for it. So, am I rambling?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't think so.
Well, you know how it is. We one thing leads to another topic-wise.
Well, that's
what
the,
was
that's
the dog's the, name again?
Muffly.
Muggsy?
Muffly.
Muffly. Muffly? Muggs.
Muffly.
Muggles. No.
Muffly.
Muffly. With a lifetime guarantee.
I'm sorry, Muttley.
Muttley.
I was thinking of the last name of the president from Dr. Strangelove. That was Merkin Muffley.
Now, Dimitri.
But this was Muttley. Well, of course I like to say hello, Dimitri. Mr. President, he's drunk. Yeah.
Yes. What is... I have got that on DVD. I've got to... Or Blu-ray. I've got to watch that.
Not a bad scene in the movie.
That's one of those films that... It keeps me on an even keel to watch it once a year, even though I can recite the dialogue in my sleep.
Now, see here, Colonel Bat Guano, if that really is your name.
Keenan Wynn.
Well, Agnes and I watched the 1968 True Grit last night.
The what?
1968 True Grit.
Oh, the, yeah.
The John Wayne, Glenn True Campbell. Grit. Yeah.
Kim Darby. I think was the girl. Say what you will about
with a mark
John
on his
Wayne.
Face like that, like Banished Cain.
That was a good movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, and it's a good movie because it's a fantastic book. That's one to have around.
Trying to think if I ever read that in school. I don't think I did. I know of the book, but I'm sure I never read it.
Oh, it's
somewhere around here. I've got the book. I don't know if it came out in conjunction with the movie or whether it was. It was written. Was Dr. Strangelove a book first, Terry Southern? And
kinda, yeah, yeah.
Because somewhere around
but
here, I think I've still
I've
got
I've
the
heard
book.
Somewhere there's nothing like the movie.
No, it's quite different, actually.
Because you have to factor in Peter Sellers.
Well, yeah.
All right, I'll shoot the lock off of this machine. But if you're lying, you're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah. And one of the problems with that movie was, do you remember Failsafe?
Yes.
The which is an excellent movie. If you've ever not, if you've not seen it, it's very much worth your time. Isn't that the one where Larry Hagman is the translator?
Well, Henry, Henry Fonda's the president.
Always liked him. I think he would have made a fine president. I mean, in real life.
He was a good FDR Democrat.
Oh yeah.
He and Jimmy Stewart. He and Jimmy Stewart were the best of friends, and Jimmy Stewart was a Republican, and Henry Fonda was a Democrat. But as someone pointed out earlier today, I sort of loop back, Colin Powell would not be welcome in the Republican Party of 2021.
No, hell no. Well, he's one of those, and I hate this, these cute little names that they make. Oh, he's just a rhino, Republican in name only. And we do it on our side.
Rhinos and dinos.
Yeah, dinos, rhinos and dinos. And it's like.
But the thing is, rhinos are kind of not really existent. That just means that you're not going along with whatever madness du jour happens to be infecting the Republican Party. Dinos, on the other hand, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, are quite real.
Well, yeah. This is a horrible thing.
And that's
ask.
One of the things that baffles me about Kyrsten Sinema is, you know, she not only has a law degree, she has a master's degree or maybe a PhD in social work. How can you have that? How can you be degreed like that and sit there and say, no, I'm not on board with helping families take care of their children. I'm not on board with taking care of orphans who have been left alone in the world by this pandemic. What happens in your brain to make you able to say that?
See, I didn't pay much attention to politics in that race. Who was she running against? How did she run? I mean, what was
she
platform?
Ran against? I think it was a vacant seat, and she ran against some Republican wackadoodle. And ran to the middle and kept her and ran past the middle and kept and didn't stop running till she'd run to the right. But she also had a very well organized campaign and a whole lot of volunteers who really, really believed in her and knocked on doors.
I somehow don't think they're going to be doing that next time around.
No, that's what political insiders are saying in Arizona is that she's alienated. Just 3 years into her first term, she has alienated her entire base. So yeah. Well, people. Once again, you get people going. And people want to get in the conversation. So I will keep things rolling. And I will wish for you a very happy evening. And like I said, the only day in the next 2 weeks that is completely out is Wednesday, the 27th of October. Because that's a 2:45 appointment, and there's just no way to be back here in time. Because it's in Huntington.
Well, I'm sure we'll speak, between now and the time you hit the road. But I don't know. Thank you for a wandering, rambling sort of conversation. At least that's how it was on my end.
Yeah, they are always dandies. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Take care. And folks out there in Horn Territory, I hope that your days ahead are just tickety-boo. Look it up. It's a good little word.
Martha McSally, by the way. Dan in Iowa says Kyrsten Sinema ran against Martha McSally.
Ah, yes, and that name does.
And she was a typical Republican wackadoodle.
Wow. One wonders if we wouldn't be better off with the real deal as opposed to someone who apparently is in there just to throw wrenches into all the machinery that she can find. I mean, that She's only going to talk to the president. I know you
see,
want to
right. No, I agree, because it's kind of weird how the whole thing plays out. Joe Manchin is there to fuck over, to fuck America over on climate change, and she is there to fuck over America on drug prices. And they're both willing to fuck America over on things like orphans and people who take care of them.
Yeah. And that's they're Democrats. In air quotes or something. I mean.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the checks keep clearing.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Byrd political dynasty in my home state of Virginia. Harry Flood Byrd. And he was just a rancid old.
He was a vicious piece of work.
Oh, God. He ran the Leesburg, Virginia newspaper, or was it the Winchester newspaper? I think it was the Winchester.
Winchester, because Joe Bajant grew up in Winchester and lived in Winchester and used to write extensively about his disgust for that vile old racist.
And he was a typical old school Southern Democrat.
Southern conservative Democrat, and those are the people who turned into Republicans.
Yeah. But, I mean, what causes them to, well, power, money and power. Geez, I answered my own question. Well, listen, I'm going to let you move on to whoever's next. But take care, and I'm sure we'll talk before you ease on down the road, as it were. Looking for the whiz.
All right, you take care, Scott. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye on stereo down at the Wiz.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
Later. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. And where did the second hour of the program go? And we're still a goose egg. So, you know, roaring right along. Last Friday, we had the biggest fundraising hole of the history of the horn. And, by the way, our anniversary is coming up. Actually, it'll be Sunday. And Randy Radar said, hey, can we celebrate that on Friday? So, yeah, Friday on the front porch will be our 16th anniversary in this form and 18-plus years overall. So, wow. But, yeah, we'll, I don't know. Somebody bring the party hats and the French onion dip and the potato chips and whatnot. Let's run over and check in with our buddy Dave in the Blind. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
Don't worry about it. I'm doing great. I mean, I've been privy to two great conversations in the last week waiting to talk to you. Tracy last week and Scott this week. It's pretty good now. I recommend that before you go into surgery that you do not view any sci-fi flicks from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, that's going to be a no. I think I'm just going to watch Little House on the Prairie reruns or something.
That might work, but please don't take fashion tips from that show.
No, I won't. That or maybe I'll, you know what would be good? It doesn't take me long to get through it, but one of my favorites remains the original book version of Forrest Gump.
Oh, no, I haven't read that yet.
Oh, it's so much better. I loathe the movie because I love the book so much.
When I was a kid, I got a hold of some of the Nash series books. I mean, the original books, not the television series and the movie. And you get a lot of background on the characters, like Radar O'Reilly is described as almost telepathic in his ability to realized something was going to happen.
Yeah, or what's going to be said next. They kind of alluded to that in the movie and the TV series.
Yeah.
But no, the number one and number two books that I love, that I absolutely despise the film version of, are Forrest Gump and the Netflix butchery of Richard K. Morgan's Altered Carbon. That's number one. That was just unrecognizable.
They could have done so much more with that series. I didn't think the series was that bad. I hadn't read the books, but as I dug into it, I was like,
"No, if you read the books, it's unrecognizable."
There are so many other types of stories they could have dealt with that Takashi Kovacs would have been perfect for.
Yeah, the story arc itself. There's a. I've had people say, you know, okay, the first book's great, second and third one not so much. I love all three of them because they make they form a cohesive whole that you don't even realize until you're finishing the third book. And the universe, the backstory, you know, kind of like the way Tolkien references things going on in the First Age and the Second Age, but you never really get into it in the Lord of the Rings series. Well, there's a backstory in the Takashi Kovacs series that just won't quit.
You had to wait for Tolkien to die in order for his son to publish his notes. He actually wrote out the backstory for all of that, the world's creation in the Silmarillion and things like that. I mean, there's a mythology, there's a cohesiveness to it that you don't realize. And I've mentioned my favorite folklore professor who said that Tolkien would have cemented his place in scholarly tomes just for his work on Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah.
But the fact that the guy was so brilliant that he could make his own language and make it fit the rules that languages follow as they develop. Was something to behold. I remember being a fan of the Lord of the Rings. And when the Silmarillion was published, I snatched that thing up so fast it wasn't funny.
Oh, I did too, and it broke my heart.
But what I liked about it was a collection of backstory. And
yeah, it was more like reading a history book than a novel.
Right. I mean, there were the myths, there were the, you know.
Speaking of which, I think it's Prime that has it in development. But there is a new Lord of the Rings series in production now, and it's going to deal with the Second Age.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, wouldn't it? I'm looking forward to it. I don't know.
That would be great.
It's so good. I mean, it's so epic. You kind of wonder if it's going to translate well to the small screen, but it'll still
probably
be, yeah.
Not. Netflix will screw it up somehow.
No, I think it's Prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You heard that Netflix is being sued by some Russian chess grandmaster because they made a reference to her in Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, I saw that.
She only paid, yeah, $5 million for an offhanded comment. It must be good to have lawyers that can work in the American courts.
Well, yeah, I mean, once Vlad Putin takes his cut, that's still some nice walking around money in the frozen wasteland of Mother Russia.
There's still $20 or $30 U.S. you know, by the time Vlad gets done, you know, and all of his buddies and the, you know, the well, we supported you all these years. You must pay us back. You know, that kind of shit.
Right.
You know, the Russian government is worse than record producers.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, we'll give you 15 points on the album, but the album never quite makes any money. It can sell millions of copies, but never quite makes any cash.
Yeah, that's why you never signed on for a cut of the profits.
Well, I think Don King worked that racket for a while. But when I was sitting on hold, before I called, I tried to make a donation on PayPal.
Oh yeah,
and there's a problem with your site. Brother Deacon Asa might want to go in and take a look. It's rejecting my email as a spam.
Okay. Brother Deacon Asa needs to whitelist your email address.
See, the thing is, it's happening to Christine too. So, because she tried about a year ago to make a donation through PayPal, and for some reason, it is it's saying that, it's linked to spam donation. And I called PayPal. They looked at it on there, and it wasn't them, they said. And they said I should contact you and let you know what's going on. So
okay. I think Brother Deacon Ace is probably hearing this.
So it may not just be my email. It may be something systematic. But speaking of the wondrous and beloved Christine, she is doing well. She's having a problem. I guess her trailer court is now part of West Virginia, because every time there's a thunderstorm, the power goes and hides under the bed. She can't use her phone sometimes.
Ugh.
And she had to use her emergency. She has one of those pendant things that you press the button and they'll come on, like life alert or something. And she had to contact them to have them get a hold of my sister-in-law. So, and she's talking about going into assisted living. And she's also in the process of potentially suing the trailer court because, they told her that they would sell her the Devil Wide for $38,000. And after she was blind, she sent the contract to her lawyer because something was off. And he found that there was no rent-to-own contract, that it was basically a rental contract with a right of refusal at $56,000 over 2 years. So,
wow.
And then she called the management office, and this is never a good sign when the manager says, maybe I shouldn't be talking to you because of the lawsuit. And that's the first she'd heard of the lawsuit. So she contacted the Attorney General of Indiana. We've had to do that a couple of times with a few people. And even though he's a Republican, their consumer affairs division is crack. I mean, those guys work year in and year out, administration after administration, kicking butt and taking names. A car dealership tried to screw her over on money that she had paid when she'd wrecked the car, and they said, well, the fact that she missed a payment canceled her insurance. And she said, that's not in my contract. She sent it to the attorney general. They sent it to the finance company in Virginia and basically said, no, it's not in her contract, and you'll refund the $750 immediately, or we'll work with the attorney general in Virginia to make sure that you can't do business in Indiana. So, yeah.
God, what a nightmare.
Well, Christine has a law firm at her beck and call, so it's not, she's not defenseless. She's got lawyers, and she's not afraid to use them.
Knows how to use them, right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's part of a prepaid legal plan, and she uses those attorneys regularly.
Well, I mentioned watching True Grit, and there's that wonderful line, Lawyer Daggett, Lawyer Daggett. She draws that Lawyer Daggett like a gun.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lawyer Daggett shows up toward the end and goes, I'm here to settle up. Yeah. The one with John Wayne, the one with Lloyd, with Jeff Bridges. I like the Jeff Bridges version better.
As True Grit goes, it is grittier. It's grittier grit.
But I thought it was an extremely compelling story. It was even a more compelling story the second time around.
Yeah.
And I love at the end where she goes and she meets Frank James, and he's polite and he's decent to her. And she's an adult now, and she's lost her arm. And there was somebody with him, and she just turned her nose up at him. And I thought, well, she hasn't changed in all those years. But Lawyer Daggett was definitely one of those characters that you thought, nah, she's just blowing smoke up somebody's shirt, and then all of a sudden he shows up.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I had to turn off the news too this morning.
Well, I mean, there was just no point. It was going to be wall to wall Colin Powell, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there's only so many ways to say the same thing again and again and again and again.
Right. It's not like you would think that the St. Colin would.
Well, I've been waiting all day. And maybe I missed it, to see Nitwit Nero's response.
Well, maybe he doesn't like Powell because, well, he actually served in Vietnam, as opposed to, getting the bone spur deferment. So I think he might actually keep his mouth shut today, although I don't see how.
So far, nothing. And, well, I hate it when he lets me down.
Well, what did you expect? If he opened his trap,
Colin Powell was part of the problem of our forever wars, which I got us out of.
Of course, he didn't.
Right. I think it would be a great thing to have five or six people that do their Nitwit Nero impression sit around a table and argue with themselves as Trump. I could see you doing it. I could see me doing it because he's easy to impersonate vocally. His speech patterns are so copyable. Unfortunately, you hear a lot of Republican politicians copying him. I have not heard from my sister about my little brother and his tirades, but so far I haven't heard anything else from him. So,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Robin. It's just a symptom of everything else that's going on.
I know, but it's painful.
I'm never going to get through to the guy. Short of looking over at his friend Todd, he's ripped him off for tens of thousands of dollars. And going, get out of here, you goddamn Nazi. And if I see you again, I'm going to kick your ass between your shoulder blades. And my brother would step in and defend it. I mean, hell, the guy who tried to run Christine and I off the road a couple of 4th of July's back. I commented to my brother. I said, I bet you I can guess how he voted. And Bob immediately came to Trump's defense. Well, you don't know that. I'm like, bullshit, I don't.
Right.
Bullshit, I don't.
Exactly, exactly.
I think Bob's problem is he doesn't want to admit he voted for the guy.
In the meantime, please tell Christine she remains in our thoughts, and I will ask Brother Deacon Asa to whitelist your email address.
Okay, do I need to send that to you then?
Well, yeah, I mean, let me know which email address you're using. Just email it to me. Yeah.
All right. And I'll see if I can't email Christine here and just have it both.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
I'm the last thing in the world you or Christine should be worrying about. So.
Don't worry about it, but I've got some good news from my sister.
Yeah.
She saw I reposted the picture you posted of you all glammed up. I guess it was the picture of you the night you came out at Maggie's.
Yeah, and the one from a year later. Yeah.
Right. My sister goes, oh, she's so pretty. I said, Robin, I said, that's my friend Robin. She's definitely one of a kind. And,
that was so sweet. I saw that. I just thought that was lovely.
And my sister is a member of the American Federation of Teachers. When they have their little conference calls nationally, she's usually on the other end because, well, she's a shop steward in her school, and she was telling me one time a principal tried to order a teacher to work over her allotted hours. And my sister goes, nope, she's not going to do it. And the principal threatened to have this woman fired. And Christine said, it's not in the contract. If you order her to do this, you're violating the contract. And she backed her down. But yeah, Kathy's been having some real problems with that kind of stuff. And it's all this maggotry that's going on.
Sure.
All unions are bad. Unions are bad. But my dad was a member of a union. Both of my grandfathers were members of a union.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Kathy was like, well, why are you not talking to Dad? He Facebooked some screed about, oh, we've got to vote the right way to save America. Yeah, when they say save America, they mean destroy democracy. And I'm just not going to deal with it. I told Kathy, I said, I'm less angry at Dad than I am at Bob, but Dad doesn't need to talk to me either. So I'll let you go so the conversation can continue, Robin.
All right, Dave. You have yourself a wonderful evening, all right?
Bye, y'all, and I will send my love to Christine.
Please do. Please do. Tell her she's remains in our thoughts.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Take care, Dave. Bye now.
Bye.
Our good buddy Dave in the blind. I think it is, Brother Deacon Asa. I think it is. That was a message. Asa had a question for me. Agnes showed this to me earlier today, and then our buddy Irwin in Montana sent it along, too. It seems like people really want to enjoy Halloween this year. I think, the pandemic, and there's this weird thing that you can observe it culturally in the aftermath of the Black Death ravaging Europe. One minute the art is all full of, happy little peasants hauling sheaves of wheat in from the field and celebrating at the cider pressing or whatever. And then the plague hits, and the next thing you know, all the art is full of death. Well, people really want to celebrate Halloween this year, but some people don't. And this is a sign on somebody's door that has gone viral. And it's written in dialect, so I'm going to read it in dialect. Jesus. I don't think they meant to write it in dialect, but well. Attention, satanic socialists! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. This is the home of an underlined patriotic Christian family. They had to add the S in. We work hard and pay taxes. We do not celebrate Satan's Day. We do not give away free candy to lazy, entitled freeload. No handouts. Welcome to America. If you want candy, get a job and find Jesus. Yeah, freeloading 4-year-olds. Get a job, kid. No M&Ms for you. No milk duds. No Whoppers. And I don't mean the hamburger. I mean right. God. They're such a lousy, rotten bunch. My God. Like Irwin said, meanwhile, back in Bug Tussle. I know. We're into the third hour of the program, and Jeremy got us off the schneid. So we're down to 13:18 to go this evening. And I appreciate the help. Yeah, great new Halloween decorations. Great people are decorating their yards with fake cemeteries of people whose tombstones read with things like, "I did my own research." And you ain't taking no experimental vaccine. Right. Jesus, these people. Jesus? Asked David in South Carolina, Stan. Has Jesus got all the candy? Find Jesus? Yeah. Jesus has all the little miniature Reese's cups and gummy bears and stuff. Right. Yeah. Let's see. Hey, Todd.
Robin.
What up?
Hey, let me say this. Well, of course, everything changes after you start to, the course of the conversation. And you're talking about, like, Halloween. The trumpeteers are so blinded, they don't even understand now. They just have fucked everything up.
They don't know what they don't know.
Like Halloween was not controversial. It was like, oh, let's have fun. We're going to eat candy. We're going to go around and see the neighbors. But, even when the shit got crazy, it was still like, okay, we're still having Halloween. These motherfuckers will not be happy with nothing.
Nope.
What the fuck? I mean, I mean, what the? I mean, that wasn't even on the plate, right? At least, you know, not about me. I'm just saying, you brought that shit up just a minute ago. I'm
sorry.
Like, yeah.
Jesus.
It doesn't matter who you were. He didn't have shit to do with that. Like, we're having fun.
Satan's, well, no, I mean, the idea, but that's, that, you know, that's what happens with these madcap, evangelical goofballs. We do not celebrate Satan's Day. You know who came up with All Hallows Eve? Hint, not the Satanists.
It was it's a fucking Christian holiday, dumbass.
Ding. All Hallows Eve precedes November 1st, which is All Souls Day.
Man, I don't know. Did I tell you about my stink ass feet?
No, what?
My stink feet.
No.
I didn't mean to cut you off about that, but I'm just so pissed off about Halloween. These people don't even have a clue. But, you know, and this is not why I called at all. But, oh, my God, man. I didn't tell you about my stinky-ass feet, did I?
You may have made some mention of it, but maybe I tried to erase it from my memory or something. But do please.
Well, all right. So I've been late to work at least one day every week for God knows how long. At least one day a week. And, you know how you get up, you know, if you have company, whatever, I got to go to work, blah, blah, blah. But so you get showered and everything, and then the last thing you do is try to put your shoes on after you shower, dressed. As soon as I sit down and get ready to put the shoes on, there they go. The damn shoes, they fucking run. They run from my stink-ass feet.
Man, that's bad, Todd. That's bad.
It's terrible.
A little Dr. Scholl's powder, maybe? But then again, maybe a little athlete's foot spray, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. And I have nice shoes. I mean, they seemed like they were nice when I bought them, but apparently we don't have a good relationship. I don't know.
Maybe try black socks.
I thought.
Instead of white.
I thought it was funny, but okay. That was supposed to be a joke, but it's all flat.
Okay. You worked real hard for it, though. We'll give you a B for effort.
I get, you know, the trophy, like a participation. Okay, all right, fine. All right, I'll work on that.
Hey, even if it's a participation trophy, it's still a damn trophy, all right?
But really, honestly, I mean, seriously, like really, the reason I called is that I think, I don't know if it was the last time we talked or before the last time. I know it was like we had a try call with me, you, and Scott. And then Jude came on.
Yeah.
And I didn't know because, I mean, we've been talking so long. I don't usually listen because it's not, you know, it's not a novelty anymore. We gotta say that, you know, we talk and that's it. But I did listen to it, and you know, I don't. I'm sorry if I apologize for talking. If I'm talking over people, I apologize.
No. You're good. Some of this is technology, Todd. It's not bad behavior. It's just it's audio, so you can't tell when somebody's taking a breath versus, you know, just pausing or when it's and that's how that happens. You know, right.
Okay.
No apology necessary.
All right. I try to be sensitive okay. Well, because that made me feel bad because, you know.
No. I don't want you feeling bad. Now quit that.
Well, you know, Jude is E.F. Hutton, and she doesn't know it.
Well, Jude, you know. Jude is the spiritual advisor to the program. She's a higher consciousness.
I don't even think she accepts it, but that's the truth. It's just,
yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, it is. Wow. So that was really, honestly,
That's why I call it, because I don't want to be offensive. I know I can be acerbic. And,
No. You're fine. You're fine.
I don't know. Well, at any rate, boy, there's a whole bunch of doo-doo going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I just... We have to come to terms with where we are, you know, as a country. Like who do we want to be? Like, what kind of country do we want to be?
Oh, I know, and you know, I thought of you earlier today when I was looking at this this one story out of Axios on HBO, and because it centers on an interview that Senator Bill Cassidy did with them. And, of course, he's an actual MD doctor. He's a Republican senator, but he also spoke out against Nitwit Nero. So maybe that qualifies him as a never-Trump Republican. He'd still vote to fuck America, but he's a never-Trump Republican, and that makes him special, and he gets a cookie. But the thing is, in the Axios interview, Todd, they asked him if he thought that there ought to be limits on people holding public office. And he said that's hard to answer because people think I'm being political when I'm not. But he talks about the effects of aging, and this is, of course, before the news about Colin Powell's passing broke. But he said that once you go over 80, age 80, that... declines can become, he said, at some point, and statistically it's in the 80s, you begin a more rapid decline. It's usually noticeable. So anyone who's in a position of responsibility who may potentially be on that slope, that is a concern, and I'm saying this as a doctor. And I thought, well, I'll be damned. They've finally gotten around to where we were, what, 2 years ago? Because we talked about this in the context of our ongoing 25th Amendment conversations.
The week-long 25th Amendment conversation that this community had, well, mainly you, that should be in the National Archives. I'm not kidding. Like literally. Because you gave enough space to flesh it out and like being terrible.
Really, we worked it. We worked through Section 4, literally word by word and phrase by phrase. And so what Senator Cassidy went on to say is that I've been told that there were senators in the past that at the end of their Senate term were senile. I'm told that was true of senators of both parties. Now, you're going to argue, well, they were elected, so who cares? But would it be reasonable to have for Supreme Court justices, members of Congress in a leadership position, and in the executive branch, an annual sort of evaluation in which they would have to establish, yeah, I'm doing okay? And I saw that because they were making some noise about it this morning on my filthy morning habit, too. It's like, God, it's amazing how it takes a while, but they eventually catch up. But the thing is, and then came the news of the death of Colin Powell at 84 with complications from some cancer or proto-cancer that he had been dealing with for years and which probably significantly compromised his immune system. And I thought, and again, I understand a Republican's point of view here. I don't much care for the guy, but some of what he said was true. And that is, you know, you've got to be cognizant of the decline. Colin Powell was 9 years older than Nitwit Nero is. Maybe 8 years, I don't know. And again, we have this... gerousia, that was the Greek word for the council of elders. Senate, as we've said before, comes from the Latin word for old. And it imperils the Republic. And it made me think, you can't get any more vaccinated than Joe Biden is vaccinated. And I'm sure that, unlike Nitwit Nero, they're actually taking precautions inside the White House now, which is at least reassuring. But, you just let these issues slide by, we let these issues just slide by at our peril. Or am I being overly dramatic?
No, I don't think so.
Because, and I think I've alluded to this before, if Nitwit Nero, when he got the Rona, and apparently people on the inside were scared as fuck about it, they thought he might even be going to die. Can you imagine the shitstorm, shit hemorrhage that the maggots would have had? Oh, they done killed our glorious president with the mystery vaccine from China. Time to launch the nukes. I mean, just ponder that, Todd. Or again, am I being hysterical?
I don't know if you can hear me because I'm on speaker. But I never. Okay, but that what you're saying, I never thought about it like that because now looking back, we see how rabid and like on edge these folks are. Like if something had happened, they would they already stormed the Capitol. Oh God! I don't even talk about that. How is it? Did these people just gloss over that? I don't. January 6th. They act like it's not a big deal. Like they just go upset. What the fuck?
Well, they don't want to make a big deal out of it because they're planning to do it the fucking again.
They're going to do it again.
They're planning a rally for November the 6th.
Another one?
Yeah.
Oh, please. No, you're making that shit up.
Come on.
That's a Saturday.
Oh, God. Isn't it just? I mean, I don't know how many times y'all are going to do it again.
See, this is
because
what
a failed insurrection that goes unpunished is a dress rehearsal.
See, this is I'm sorry, I had to put my little history hat on. This is exactly why people here hate Sherman. But Sherman didn't want to do what he had to do. He understood, like, look, this is what we had to do. These mugs are out of control, and they're not going to get the fucking message unless we just fucking take all their shit and burn them down. Because how the hell do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And then here comes Andrew Johnson, and he's like, it ain't that bad.
Psych.
Go home, you'll be all right.
And Rutherford B. Hayes.
And Hayes. And then we got the, it wasn't that bad. Now, look, and I'm going to say it again. I think I said it last time we talked. You see, there's a reason. you got to, oh, you got me started. You're talking about people with their hand out. I heard that earlier in the whole program conversation about people getting free shit. Anybody in this Horn family who can hear me, listen closely. You, me, everyone has friends, family, neighbors who are Trumpeteers. Or even if they're not,
they're just, you know, they believe that, you know, whatever they think welfare is bad. Nobody should be getting no food stamps, and that's about it. There's TANF, you know, but that's it. There's really no more welfare. But this country got started by people getting free shit. So apparently, maybe we have to drill that down. This country got started by a small group of people getting free shit. And when I say free shit, I mean like a lot of fucking land with water.
Well, yeah, and I'll add to that. What do you think? What do you think the Boston Tea Party was? I mean, apart from the fact that they tried to dress up and blame it on Native Americans, there was also the fact that that was a rebellion against the Stamp Act. And you know what the Stamp Act was, right?
Of course.
That was an attempt on the part of Mother England to recoup some of the financial losses that they had incurred from defending the colonies against France in what is called the French and Indian War.
Right. Right. They were pissed off.
Right. Exactly.
We don't get our money. Fuck that. You know, you little recalcitrant little pissants.
The people who dumped the tea in Boston Harbor were essentially saying, we want free shit.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they were breaching their contract. See, they had a contract. They were breaching their contract.
Ding.
You look at the. See, a lot of motherfuckers, a lot of niggas don't load it. A lot of people don't understand that. And well, you said ding, so that says it all. Anybody who listens to this program knows what that means. But see, that means a lot. This is, see, once again, you know, literacy means something. You know, I'm sorry mugs didn't go to school or they didn't pay attention. You know, once again, here comes Todd. Listen to motherfuckers no more than you. Shut the fuck up.
But see, they don't know more than they do. They just know the wrong stuff, egghead stuff up in their ivory towers. That's hard working middle America out there picking their teeth with their toenail clippings, and they know more. They've done their own research on the Google. They ain't gonna be part of no experimental vaccine.
Oh, don't go watch the journal. Oh my goodness. Ooh wee. Man, that's a party in a bucket.
Wait a minute.
Thank God for DVR. I ain't lying. No, if you want to know how fucked up our country is, you listen to what you ain't look. Most a lot of people, if you are affluent enough to have DVR, and because that's hard now, shit, it's hard living, man. Now I'm about to be a real estate mogul. I'm not kidding. Like I don't know in the next. 10 years, maybe. And but I'm going to be better. You know, I'm going to be altruistic. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna build affordable housing and stuff like that.
That is altruistic.
Apparently, well, and see, this ties into this real history, like just straight history. Apparently, straight history is just too offensive for motherfuckers. They've ascribed a new name to it.
Critical race theory.
Yeah, that's your ding ding. Yeah. So every time you hear that, you know, back the fuck up. And I know I'm biased. However, I deal with empiricism. It's just fucking history.
Yes, it is.
You know, don't Don't get fucking excited. People, I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings too fucking bad. You're too sensitive. It's what happened.
Yeah, kind of, you know, grow up.
You know, you know, good grief, man. What the hell is wrong with these people? But guess what? We're at a precipice right now. Now, this motherfucker, all these people, man, they got to get deposed. And you know, what's his name? Benny, the guy from Mississippi who's in charge of the...
Benny Thompson.
Benny Thompson, right. So, you know, we gotta bring these... I just don't understand. All right, well, I kind of do understand. We should be unnerved that more people are not upset with what happened on January 6th. But
a lot of people out there think it was kind of cool.
Well, right. What is that about?
Well, I mean, they're just getting back for all the Black Lives Matter rioters burning down the whole country.
So you want to bring that shit up? All right, here you go, motherfucker. You want to bring that shit up? Listen, I have to tell people around here, man. I can't even say it on the radio. I have to be careful what I say now because people hear me. But look, there's a reason that people that was. Do you understand that was that is the most durable protest in American history now. Black Lives Matter. It ain't just black folk. Because guess what? Black folk are married to white folk, and black folk have white friends, and white friends have black friends. People know what's going on. Like, if you have a white girlfriend, they tell you what happens when they get pulled over. They worried about getting their number and trying to get, you know, trying to push up and crack on them and shit. And it's like, you sure you okay? And, you know, she's like, yeah, that's my friend. You know, and then you look at the Facebook postings. You know, we I don't understand these motherfuckers, man. And then it's just, you know, at some point this it's like a fucking temple. This temple is about to pop, and the pus is going to be all over, and it's toxic.
It's going to be real gross. It's going to be one of them noisy ones.
I mean, did you have acne when you were growing up?
Lord, yes.
That shit ain't no fun, is it?
No.
What did you find helped you with your acne?
I was very lucky. I was taught just an absolutely religious skincare regimen. Morning and night. I mean, you just do it. And still, you know, it still happened, but it wasn't as bad. I didn't get chewed up by it. But I had a sister who taught me how to take care of my skin, and so I didn't use Clearasil or any of that stuff. I used something by Bonnie Bell called 1006.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could see that, you know, use one of them cotton squares and you see, even though your face is clean, you see the grime coming off of it. And that and moisturizing and I happened to sort of reach early adulthood at the same time that people like companies like Estee Lauder were trying to get men to actually take care of their faces when they shaved. So a lot of soap, a lot of moisturizers. You know, I had a whole, and you know, when I went to shave, always I doused my razor in rubbing alcohol.
That's right, sterilize it.
And I think it made a difference.
See, that acne was, and you know, black man, you know, we deal with hair bumps.
Oh, no, see, I had that kind of beard. It would immediately it'd come out, it would immediately curl back in on itself.
Whew.
And so, yeah, I don't know how we got here, but yeah, it was bad.
Man, those keloids, when you take public transportation and you're behind somebody with some keloids, and it's like, damn, you see the whole, I've seen some terrible shit. So, right.
And the other thing I read a trick from Paul Newman one time, because, you know, he just had such a fantastic face. And he said when he was done with his routine, he always ended it by plunging his face in ice water. Because it slammed him pores shut. And then, you know, the aftershave balm or whatever.
Well, I can remember during the recession, because you remember in the 80s, man, we were in a recession. It was shit. Stuff was.
You mean when America was great under Reagan?
Yeah, that's exactly what. Yes, you can see. Well, I'm telling you, you got the color commentary. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what a load of crap that was.
And that's some shit. And you still have people like, oh, yeah, maybe not. In addition to the racism. Because all black people will tell you that shit, well, it was like overnight. Oh, everything was cool until Reagan. When Reagan won, it was almost by the second. When he took the oath of office, it was like, oh, shit.
Oh, no. Everybody who was paying attention, and that mainly means not the Democrats, but the people that the message was for were paying attention when he stood there at that fairgrounds in Neshoba County, Mississippi. And gave his state's rights speech. You know, when you go to the home of the Klan in the county where Cheney and Goodman and Schwerner were buried in an earthen dam after having been murdered by the Klan, when you go there to give your first big speech after winning the Republican nomination, and you make it a speech about states' rights, everybody pretty much knows what that means.
Out of every this is a big beautiful country, and I had no idea until I moved down here how we're not that evolved. Like, I mean, and I understand it's economics, but if you have any money, people, if you have children, if you got any kind of means, travel, expose your kids to as many things as possible, and if you can't travel. You know, you can travel online. Go to the Library of Congress. There's a whole lot of stuff on there because, you know, life is not the little 10, 20, 50 miles of your radius. It's really not. This is a big, beautiful country. And with all its flaws, this is the best place. Because we have corruption, but corruption is worse other places. But the thing is, we have an ability to thwart it. We have the ability to be better.
If we want to.
I didn't mean. Am I mistalking here?
No. But yet we have the ability to be better. That's Lincoln talking about the better angels of our nature. But we gotta want to.
See, and you've said it, and I've heard other people say it, and
So you worked real hard on that feet thing. Tracy wants you to know, try Lume, L-U-M-E, Lume.
Well, I was only halfway kidding. I mean,
shit works.
Okay. Oh no! Oh hell! Oh, you going? Oh no! Wait a minute, man. How the hell is that commercial on? Have you seen that shit? Man, I just can't believe that shit. This woman has her face right up on the crotch of her yoga partner. And basically she's saying, damn, you just fucking fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, Tracy. Oh, she you know what? She baited me. She did this shit on purpose. Oh, man, that's... See,
I know.
I can't.
I know.
Look,
It's what happens when living in the capitalist miracle. Yeah. The shit that gets stuck in your brain. By the way, we had a lovely note from Jude. Just for this moment in time, in being captured by all that's negative, be still and ponder. You have been a prisoner of a little pond. I am the ocean and its turbulent flood. Come merge with me. Leave this world of ignorance. Yes, it's Rumi. You know, the great Persian poet. Sufi poet. Ignorance, Jude says, extracts life, and we are focused on growth, truth, compassion, and care for one another. I care deeply for you both. Always will. Peace. Jude. And thank you very kindly to our dear friend Christopher. Christopher just actually got us down to, we were at 1238, and we got down to, we're down to just an even $1,200 now. So that's four unfunded programs. It'll be five tomorrow. But thank you. Thank you, Christopher. That means that we will not have the deepest fundraising hole in Horn history come tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jesus Christ. It's that close. That's,
yeah. By the way, Jack in Shreveport says, subject line, Washington Journal. And if you like the callers on Washington Journal, you'll love the media that the hosts read as reference material during the show. Ask Todd what he thinks of the hosts reading articles from the Daily Caller and others of that ilk. Ha, 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 Jack says, crazy.
All right. Can you afford me like 90 seconds? Because I'm
all you need.
Looked at the clock. Okay. This is the problem. Now let me preface it. I have been watching and listening to C-SPAN since I was a teenager when they first started. Because in my little group of friends, my best friends, their father was blind. And C-SPAN was always on the TV. Always. And I didn't even understand. They were Irish. They had a big family. So you come in, you sit down and wait for everybody to get ready. And when he found out I was black, he didn't really like me, but he got over that shit. But, and that's not the point. But, so it's like, the whole point of C-SPAN is to just present this is what our government is doing. And you talked about Newt Gingrich the other day. He got his start because he learned how to work C-SPAN. He learned how to be on the floor. He was like, oh, I can get some free coverage with this shit. That got his start. And I know what I'm talking about. That's some real doo-doo. If you don't believe me, dig into it. Not you, but anyone else. So now, when this entity, this organism, human beings are organisms, known the orange orangutan, started born, okay, all of a sudden, oh, C-SPAN is leaning left. And if I could call in every day, we are in a bad place when you hear people say every day C-SPAN is leaning left. But and they say NPR is leaning left. But it's like, you know what? They just don't like the truth. The truth, see that old adage, the truth hurts. It's not my fucking fault. This is what you subscribe to. This is what
well, there's also that old saying, Todd, that the truth has a well-known liberal bias.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it's something like that. But because the fact of the
really?
Matter is, reality has one or something like that. Because liberal thought, little L liberal thought, acknowledges a changing world. Conservatism is a desperate attempt to keep the world from changing. C-SPAN was really fulfilling its mission, they would be trying to educate their viewership. But the thing is, they know it. They know by now, and ratings matter to C-SPAN just like anybody else. They know now that the most of the people who are watching them are cranky old right-wingers. You know, you tune in, Scott tunes in, Stephen Georgistan tunes in to watch the show. To, you know, you tune in for the wackadoodles. Pedro, I just wanted to call in and tell you that there's little tiny Martians in the vaccine. And Pedro has to sit there and go, yes, caller, thanks, next caller. Well, am I wrong?
Well, no, you're not. That's why they had the rehab center next door on New York Avenue. Right. Because when you come in from Maryland, it's right there, New York Avenue. There's the C-SPAN headquarters. And there's a Chinese food store, you know.
Oh, I know the area.
Center. Pardon me?
I know the area.
I know, you see? It's a beautiful place. But, right, so these mugs, man, I don't know what, it's not like I'm bashing. Look, people are, I'm not bashing people who are unexposed. Because, look, it takes a lot. I was very, just some people are fortunate and some aren't. It's a lucky sperm club. And I get that. But even if you're not, you know, you can't expose your kids. You can expose now that we, and see, this is exactly why we need broadband everywhere. So you can expose your children. In other words, you don't have the dude coming by knocking on the door saying, do you want to buy Encyclopedia Britannica or World, the other one we had, what was it, World Book, I think.
Yeah, we were a World Book family.
Right. Because that was right. See? Yeah, we got a lot of time. Right. That was pretty, you know, it was nice. They had the nice plastic things with the digestive system. That's what got me in science. I was fascinated. I was like, oh, science. Oh, it's good. So, you know, it's not our fault that, you know, you gotta, and Joe the plumber didn't help. You know, this whole thing, I'm like, well, we don't need to listen to that. We know better. We have pitchforks. You know, fuck you and your pitchfork. Listen to motherfuckers who know more than you. It doesn't matter if you don't like the way they look or what the, you know, just stop it. Stop it.
I know.
But apparently it's not just here though. See? Because you got the Brexit. I mean, this whole fascist thing, fascism is easy. It doesn't require a lot of thought.
No, all you got to do is keep your head down and hope they don't come for you and they come for somebody else instead.
That's it. You know, engage in some deeper thinking. I mean, oh, God. Well, beyond that, how the hell are you?
I'm okay. Like I told Scott, just putting little X's on little calendar boxes. Tomorrow is 3 weeks. We have, eight more broadcasts after today.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, what a downhill sprint this is to be, you know, no offense, to be in this kind of a hole. And I misspoke. We got down to 1,300, not 1,200, but we got down to $1,300. Thank you for the reminder. And now we are down to 1,280. Thank you. Thanks to Ralphs. So that's tremendously helpful. And tomorrow, I guess, we'll be at 1,580. So it will be the biggest fundraising hole we've ever had. Oops. But I'm okay. The biggest thing that worries me is making sure that all the bills are paid before I leave and keeping them paid once I'm gone. And
how many years have you been doing this?
Well, we are going to celebrate our anniversary on Friday because it actually falls on a Sunday, the 24th. But we went on air on October the 24th, 2005. And I'd been on air for like 3 years-ish before that. Or 2.5, something like that. But anyway, in this configuration, 16 years on Sunday. And it's a little miracle that it's lasted this long. You know, I mean, when I got started, Air America was still a going concern. There's no more Air America, but there's a horn. A lot of people have gone by the wayside because it's hard to do this, especially on the liberal side of things. You can either pass the hat like we do here, or you can sell beet juice gummies.
I don't think
that would keep, you know, I don't think that would keep us going. Like, you know, I put the podcast up at Podbean and also at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And at Podbean, they've got an advertising thing that you can click. And we are approaching 500,000 downloads. And just
there, what?
Yeah, just in the short time, the few years that I've been doing Podbean, which I learned about from my buddy Rick Smith, we are approaching 500,000 downloads.
Damn.
And just this past weekend, I got my first advertising payment because I won't allow them to run the advertising in the middle of the podcast, but I will let them run it, whatever it is. I'll let them run it at the beginning and at the end. And we just got paid, baby. We just got paid. And I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was when it said, you know, Podbean, here's. Yep. Made a whopping $11.89.
But okay, so damn. Wow. Really?
Yeah. And thank you to Jude. Thank you, dear Jude. We are down to 12:55. So yeah, if in the last minute or so. Thank you, Jude. Jude made it possible. If we could bring in some combination of $60, we won't have a $1,500 fundraising goal tomorrow.
You know,
it'll be
$14.95. Maybe yesterday, the day before. Everyone has to do. I do what I can. All right, it ain't a lot. You know, I have a big time job, but guess what? I'm a Negro, and look where I work. I mean, look where I am. I do what I can, but I'm just saying that. I probably shouldn't have said that because I know somebody's listening, but that's too bad. It's the truth. I'm here for a different reason. I'm here because of the old people, but. You know, everybody just a little bit. Even if, you know, $5. Everybody just $5. This is there's some quality shit that goes on. I mean, sometimes you have to listen, but there's some quality shit that goes on in this program. Back to where we dissecting the Fifth Amendment. What amendment was that? Is it fifth? Second? What is it?
What?
The mental health. Right.
No, 25th.
25th. I mean, like, I remember that like yesterday. Like, I think it was 2 weeks. It might have been three. It might have been a month. I don't know. It was long enough to really flesh that out. We're in some trouble. because you don't want to and see, you convinced me of the fact, as opposed to like Young Turks, because I listen to them, we don't need to have a constitutional convention because that could be the end of the end. That'd be it. Are you kidding now? Oh, we ain't gonna go near. Don't even talk about it. That'd be some fuck up shit. You know, come on. Yeah, and they don't want people to vote. They don't want people to vote. And see, remember, we talked about this shit early about, like, okay, it's not really about the voting hours and this and that. It's about, you know, the Trojan horse was the legislators being able to overturn the election. Nobody was talking about that. We talked about it on this program early
years
on.
Back. Yeah, years back, because we knew what the game was going to be.
You are a badass. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, you keep doing what you're doing, and I have to look. And it was funny, man. I don't know, the other day I was putting on my shoes, and I thought about the white kids. Because I know when my senior, in my senior year, my girlfriend, the white leather Keds with the blue tab on the back that said Keds.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, those are comfortable.
They're the transition or no transition, they're the most comfortable shoes, you know, like sneakers I've ever owned.
See? I could tell that. I was like, Jennifer, those were nice. Oh my God! You should see her now. Man, I'd be rolling with dimes. I ain't lying.
Well, hey, I got great news. Our dear friend Yuki. Thank you, Yuki, so much. Just jumped in, and we will not be facing the largest fundraising goal in the history of the Horn tomorrow, because Yuki just took us down to. $10.05 this evening, so we'll be at $13.05 tomorrow. So thank you, Yuki. Thank you so much. Oh my God, thank you so much. That's one bill going to get paid.
See, and overnight hadn't started.
Right. Thank you,
There's
Yuki.
Hope. All right.
And I have got to get out of here. Agnes is babysitting. I got to go pick her up.
Okay.
But it's been a fantastic conversation. They all have. You, Dave, Scott, and maybe the filler lobster wasn't even too bad, too, I like to think.
Hey, love you, my sister.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. You be good now.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina stand. Jude says, I'd call in, but I'm at a place of that 2% where I have nothing relevant to share. Remember when dear Todd stated that usually when I call in, it's 99.8% relevant? I hope you both laugh. I did. As the need to shift from despairing lukewarmness to regroup oneself. Breathe. Yes. Always breathe. Breathing is so underrated. Good, nice, deep, cleansing breath. Absolutely. And that's not 2%. That's 0.2%. 99.8%, Jude. 0.2%. That's tiny, tiny. But I understand. So, back tomorrow. Like I said, I got an appointment. There's a chance it may interfere with the program. I don't think so. I hope not. And, well, we'll see. But, you know, it's like the magic eight ball. Answer hazy. Ask again later. But I think we'll be okay. So, that having been said, thanks each and every one of you. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Again, thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program. I hope you don't always just fast forward past the credits, because it's very important to me, that idea that we are sharing in our, we are sharing of our finite time on this planet. And I mean it to the bottom of my heart when I say thank you every evening. It is because the one thing we will never have more of is time. And it is so kind of you and so good. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way in under an hour. HeadOn.live is the best place to listen to the first round of Malloy. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch at CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This really would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine. Get your booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear gloves in skeevier places, like, you know, big box stores. Wear your mask. And, you know, for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, I just don't think we necessarily need out-of-staters telling West Virginians how to what's good for them. Avoid that guy like the plague, because he is. Later.